Appreciate the Lord's goodness and mercy to us. Thankful for life and all that the Lord has provided. I'm thankful for that fountain that we can go to. I'd like to look at some scriptures in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16. And this is concerning Paul and Timothy. And I'll just start reading at verse 4. Acts 16, verse 4. It said, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." This is just a little glimpse of the early church, but I want to look at verse 7, the phrase stood out to me. Write it on the board. That word, assayed, I looked it up, and it's through the idea of piercing, to test, attempt, experience, endeavor, scrutinize, try. It's from the word para in the Greek. But it's the idea of piercing through, to attempt, to try, to endeavor. And now in this case, they were doing what they understood for the will of God for them and their lives. And there's another scripture that talks about they went forth and the Lord went with them, working with them. And I'm thinking this morning, this thought of assayed. In this case it said, but the Spirit forbid them not. So the Lord had a different plan, but they were going. They were examining. And I think sometimes uncertainty, fear of the unknown can hinder us and keep us from assaying or experimenting with the will of God and understanding the will of God. And I just want to encourage us this morning when the Lord begins to talk to our heart or begins to lead us in a certain direction. We may not have all the answers. We probably won't have all the answers. We won't have all the outcomes. And there's always something a little bit uncertain about the unknown. there's some uncertainty that comes because we don't really know how everything's going to work out. But in the life of faith that God, and we see this in the Scriptures, different places, there at the Jordan River, when he told the priest to put your feet in the water, you know, nothing changed, nothing happened until they did something. And I believe it's that way in our life too. I believe the Lord, He wants us to step forward. He wants us to put our heart into living for Him, being willing to serve Him in whatever means and ways that He provides, but to be willing to be there. And it's like there's a, you know, that word it said, to scrutinize, to test, to attempt. And through the wisdom with the Scriptures, you know, looking to the Lord to give us wisdom and to give us guidance and all those things. But there's a time, and I remember C.W. Naylor wrote in his book one time, he said, some people want to be so very sure of everything that it hinders faith. They want to be so positively 100% accurate that this is God's will, and many times it doesn't work that way. Many times it's a step of faith is like a step in the unknown, and I believe that's probably why they call it faith, because there's some unknown variables that we don't see and understand. But to believe that God, and you know, there may be failures. Maybe we make a mistake. Maybe we mess up. I remember when I first got saved, somebody asked me to pray. And I started praying, and my mind went blank. My mind went blank. I didn't know what to say next. And amen. It was over. We may make a mistake, but it's better to step and to essay, to experiment and prove. And I want to say to the Lord, the Lord is there in those efforts that we make for Him. Even sometimes we don't feel Him altogether. He's there in those things, those efforts that we give to Him. But to say, to experiment, to try. And, you know, life is a learning experience. We don't have it all figured out when we start. There are a lot of things to learn in life. But the way we learn is by essaying to go, by going forward. We learn by our mistakes. We learn by our failures. We try to correct those, but we go in faith, believing. And the Lord's encouraged me with that, and I believe I would like to pass that on to all of us. And as they went, different things appeared. You know, after that they had the vision, and it said the Spirit suffered them not. So there was something happened that closed the door for this to take place, for them to go into Bithynia. There was a circumstance or something, the Spirit suffered them not. It doesn't tell us what it was, but it was something evident to them that the Lord's closed the door. If a door closes, it doesn't mean it's all over. It doesn't mean that God's not wanting to work through our life, that God's not wanting to bless. We just have to keep praying and keep looking for the Lord to open the door, and He'll do that. But many times we have to
make a step forward.
I'll have to say, when I was praying about a wife, it was a little scary. She did about turn me down one time. I didn't give her the opportunity, but she did have some hesitancy. But it was scary, you know. I don't know if she's going to like me or not. But at some point, I had to express something to her to let her know that I was interested. And then comes the time of asking the question, you know, will you marry me? And, you know, there's some uncertainty with that. There's, you know, marrying someone, there's is different than just talking to them over the phone and taking them out every once in a while. It's a whole different ball game. But at some point, there has to be a commitment. There has to be a move, a step forward. It was interesting to me. I don't know how long ago. It's been a few months. But I was reading about the average age that people years ago used to get married. And it was like 15 and 16, 17, and we're shocked. You know, we're shocked at, you know, we think now, wow, you know, to get married that young. But years ago, people were responsible. You know, at Brother Ted's funeral, they said his parents bought him a, what was it? Cultivator. When he was 10 years old. You know, they used to run households at 10 years old. 10-year-old daughters was like the mother of the home almost, changing diapers and learning how to cook, and they were responsible. But the age in our generation has, people are getting married later and later, it seems like, postponing, you know, responsibility, or not even marrying at all. I don't think that's the way God intended for it to be. You know, there has to come. And if I would have tried to wait until I was perfect, a perfect person to get married, I wouldn't be married. You know, maybe we wait for the perfect one. I don't think there is a perfect one. I mean, that's just, there's real good ones, but they have to grow too. They're not totally perfect in life. But there comes a point where you've got to make a commitment. You've got to say, this is the direction I'm going. And the Lord works as we step, as we, you know, we pray about something, and I believe in that. I believe in prayer. But there comes a time where you've got to make a step. You've got to make a move. And not knowing the outcome, not knowing how it's going to work out, but the Lord can bless. And as we're going, the Lord can bring different things, just like He worked with them here. He can bring different things to our mind. And I likened it to a puzzle, because, you know, when you start a puzzle, you can see the picture on the box, but the picture is incomplete when you're just putting a few pieces here and there, and that's the way life is many times. The more we start putting the pieces together and doing what we know to do and following what we believe God is calling us to, the more the picture becomes complete, and the Lord blesses that. But uncertainty, indecision, and fear can cripple us in life. They can keep us from being what God is calling us to be. Indecision, fear, uncertainty, they can cripple us in our life and hinder us. And the Lord wants us to be willing to take risk, willing to step out and accept responsibility, take responsibility, and the Lord can bless and help us. And the fear of the unknown, I mentioned that. Sometimes we have a desire of the Lord to show us all the steps at once, and it doesn't usually work like that. It's usually little by little. As I step, He shows me, opens up to me, and as I move more, He's able to reveal more. I think about Abraham's servant when he was seeking a wife for Isaac, how he prayed, he asked God, but he went, you know, he made a move. He went to where Abraham had told him to go. But I'm really impressed with this servant. He had, somehow Abraham's life had really influenced him. And the way he prayed was the God of Abraham. The God that has blessed my father, my master Abraham. And it seemed like he caught Abraham's faith, and he prayed, and he asked God to show him and reveal things to him, and he had a sign, but it was by the well. He said, "Lord, cause this to happen." And you know, the Lord works with us. He's willing. He works and answers those things and helps us to be able to see. And then he was so filled with thanksgiving and praise that God, he just saw the hand of God in everything that was transpiring, that God was working in that. And then when it came to talking to Rebecca and Laban, and Bethel, which was Rebecca's father, he just told them all the steps. And they said, surely the Lord is in this thing. Surely the Lord's there. And then Rebecca was willing to go and leave. She left the security of her home to go marry a man that she had never met, she had never seen. She didn't know. She knew he was well-to-do because of all the gifts the servant had. And he said he had prospered his servant Abraham, his master Abraham. So she knew a few things, but there was a lot of unknowns to her. So she stepped out in faith. She believed that God was in it. And that's what we want this morning. We want to be able to follow in faith the Lord. Sometimes we like to have it just so miraculous, so clear, so plain that there is no mistake. It doesn't usually work that way. We've got to take the little hints and the little things that God gives to us, and He helps us, and follow through with those, and He will lead us and guide us through life. I'm confident of that. I wanted to look at Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25. And verse 14. We have the parable of the talents. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And also he that received 2. But the one that buried and didn't use what God had given him got in trouble. He was in trouble. He said, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. First of all, I want to say the Lord is not a hard taskmaster. He's very forgiving of failures, mistakes, misunderstandings. He's not harsh. He's not hard. But he buried what God had given to him to use. And I pray, Lord, help us not to bury the things the Lord has given to us, but to use them and allow the Lord to multiply it as He sees fit. Another thing about this account is it's like He really didn't tell them exactly what to do. Now, I know there's a will of God, and I know everybody has, not everybody's the same. But he gave them room. To me, it seems like he gave them room to use what he gave them. He didn't dictate to them every move. And I believe that's that way today. I believe the Lord has given us freedom of choice. He wants us to make good decisions, good choices. And through committing ourselves and yielding ourselves and seeking Him, He can help us to do that. He can enable us to do that. But we want to use what God has given to us. And sometimes we don't even really know and understand what our gifts are, what gifts God has given to us to use. But we learn as we go along. We learn, we experiment, we test, we try. And through that process, we learn. And the Lord teaches us. And I'm thankful for that today. I want to get a little deal that I read. This is not a true account, but it's written to make a point. Man 91 dies waiting for the will of God. Tupelo, Mississippi. Walter Houston, described by family members as a devoted Christian, died Monday after waiting 70 years for God to give him clear direction about what to do with his life. He hung around the house and prayed a lot, but just never got that confirmation. His wife Ruby says sometimes he thought he heard God's voice, but then he wouldn't be sure and he'd start the process all over again. Houston, she says, never really figured out what his life was about, but felt content to pray continuously about what he might do for the Lord. Whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back because he didn't want to disappoint God or go against him in any way. Ruby says he was very sensitive to always remaining in God's will that was primary to him. Friends say they liked Walter, though he seemed not to capitalize on his talents. Walter had a number of skills he never got around to using, says longtime friend Timothy Burns. He worked very well with wood and had a storyteller side to him too. I always told him, take a risk. Try something new if you're not happy. But he was too afraid of letting the Lord down. To his credit, they say Houston, who worked mostly as a handyman, was able to pay off the mortgage on the couple's modest home. So that's quite a point. fear of failure, fear of making a mistake, fear of stepping out can hinder us from enjoying life, can enjoying what God has for us. And the Lord will help us if we're willing. The Lord will help us. I've made a lot of failures, made a lot of mistakes and blunders. But you know, the Lord has been there to help me. He's been there to pick me up. He's been there to keep me going. But worse than failure is not trying. Worse than failure is not ever stepping out, not ever making a move. That's worse. That's worse than a failure, and that's something we really ought to fear. We shouldn't be afraid to try something different, something new. Sometimes it's easy for us to get stuck in our routines. And I pray the Lord to help me. I'm a creature of habit. And it's easy to get stuck in those habits. They can be good habits. But there's something about the Spirit of God that brings life. There's something about when the Spirit of God is leading a person, there's life there. There's strength there. There's encouragement. There's hope in that. But if I just get lost in my routines and my securities, and I just hold on to those all through life, I'm going to miss some of the things that God has for me. And the things that God has for you. Sometimes we're afraid to let go of something that we're attached to. And it could be something that's very detrimental to us, but we're afraid to let go of it. Because it's just a part of us. The Lord has to help us, but we have to come to a place that where we're willing to take a step, where we're willing to make a mistake, where we're willing to consecrate and say, okay, Lord, I want to make a step of faith. You know, we've been studying Abraham, the father of faith, didn't know where he was going, didn't actually know what all he was doing. But the Lord would appear to him from time to time and give him direction and guidance, and he followed. Once he perceived, he felt like the Lord was leading him, he would follow. And that's what we want to do today. We want to follow the Lord, but we want to have initiative. We don't want to be afraid of mistakes and failures and those types of things. We want to be willing to believe that God is able to work through my life. God is able to work through all of us. The Scripture talks about quenching the Spirit. And that can be so easily done. So easily. To quench the Spirit means to resist, put it out, put it down, not listen, not obey. And we're admonished in the Scriptures not to quench the Spirit. That's the life of the church. That's all we have, is the Word and the Spirit. If we're not following the Word and the Spirit, we're not allowing the Spirit to have His way in our life, then we're quenching, and it's quenching the life. It's choking the life of the church. Because we're part of one another. We're a part of each other. So I just want to encourage us and challenge us to not be afraid to allow the Lord to work and to follow the good things that God gives to us. Pray for me.